Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Pierre LeBrun is in town for this one, too. Hockey insider for TSN, columnist for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter, at Pierre V. LeBrun, and he's nice enough to take time out of his busy schedule to join us this afternoon. Pierre, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm terrific. I feel like I won the lottery being able to cover this upcoming series here, so I'm in a great mood.
Winnipeg enters this round as the least experienced team remaining in the postseason, while Nashville, one of the most experienced, best in the West in terms of experience, second most in the remaining eight. How much does inexperience matter in a hyped matchup like this?
I mean, I think that's a tough thing to answer. It's funny because it's exactly what I asked a couple of the Predators players today after practice. And, you know, they're going to be careful in how they answer that because they don't want to give bulletin board material to the Jets. But the reality is when you analyze these two great teams and look at every facet, you know, depth, scoring, goaltending, defense, it is so hard to separate these two teams. They are so close. They're matched up so closely. All the analytics have been matched up really closely. That is the one area where there's no argument. I mean, the Predators have been there and done that with their cup run last year and other playoff series before that, whereas the Jets are as green as it gets. Now they just beat a tough Minnesota Wild team. I covered that series. And one thing that I was looking for was how they would look after they got clobbered 6-2 in the only game they lost in that series. And I'll never forget going into that dressing room that night after they lost 6-2 in Minnesota, and the sort of shrugging of the shoulders from one Jet to another saying, ah, it's just a game. You watch, we'll be back next game. And they were. They dominated the rest of the series. And my point is, that's the human element of all this, is how a team that has not been in the playoffs, how would they react with some adversity? Well, we got our answer. They shut out the Wild the final two games en route to a five-game win. So, I think that as this series goes along, I do think the Predators have an edge in that they will know when things aren't going their way that it's not the end of the world. They'll also know that when things are going their way, not to get too excited about it. Even keel is an expression that a couple of the Predators players used with me today. So I think they'll have that, and the Jets really can have it naturally, but they can build off what just happened. They beat a more experienced Minnesota Wild team rather handily and look poised in doing that.
Pierre LeBrun, our guest. Let me go a layer deeper with that question, because Pekka-Rinne has made 76 postseason starts now. Only one goaltender among the remaining teams has played in more. And then Connor Hellebuyck has played in just five, by far the fewest of any goaltender. Same kind of thought, and I know you tackled this question with a piece you wrote at The Athletic on Connor. Do you buy into the inexperience from the goaltending point of view?
I mean, it's hard to buy into once you've been around Connor Hellebuyck. He is a really confident young man. And you said he's played in five games. Technically not even five, because he got pulled in game three. And then how does he react after getting pulled in game three? He hasn't allowed a goal since. That's quite the statement coming back with that shutout. And, that's his makeup. But at the end of the day, certainly when you look at Rinne against Hellebuyck, again, if you're going to nitpick, you have to feel more comfortable with the guy that's been there and done that. The guy who has the pedigree and the experience and just led a team to the cup final last year. No question about it. But this is, again, this is whether you're Connor Hellebuyck or Patrick Laine or Mark Scheifele, all these kids on Winnipeg that have zero playoff pedigree, they don't have one because their team has not been in the playoffs, right? So it's one of those strange things that is hard to define other than what's staring at you in the face, which is they haven't lived any of this, which is not to say that they can't succeed, because we saw in the first round they looked quite comfortable.
Hellebuyck is really a come-from-nowhere story. What was maybe the biggest turn in his development for them?
Well, yeah, there's no question he's out of left field. He was a walk-on for the Odessa Jackalopes of the North American Junior Hockey League, and which is where the Winnipeg Jets drafted him somewhat amazingly. I mean, there's another trait that the Jets share with the Predators, and it's funny, I had a sit-down interview with David Poile today, which will come out tomorrow on The Athletic, but he absolutely spoke glowingly of the way that the Winnipeg Jets have built their team. And you know, and you know why. It's because David Poile loves teams that build through the draft and develop their own players. You know, for the Jets to go and find Connor Hellebuck in Odessa, Texas, before anyone else noticed who he was, speaks to the Jets' scouting and drafting. He's a great story. I mean, he literally was a walk-on for the Odessa Jackalopes because no one had ever heard of him. He was not a prospect coming out of Michigan high school hockey. And halfway through that year in Odessa, not only did the Jets have him on their radar, but UMass Lowell had recruited him. All he needed to see is 2 months. And since then, his star has just shot through. And, you know, a big turnaround for him, to answer your question specifically, I think was last summer. After he had a very uneven year, a disappointing year, he hired Adam Francilia, who is a skills coach in Kelowna, British Columbia, who also works with other players, not just goalies. But among the goalies, he also works with Devin Dubnyk, another disciple of the Minnesota Wild. And under the tutelage of Adam Francilia, he kind of basically took on a whole new technique. And the Jets, and it's always a touchy thing when players hire independent coaches outside of the team, right? It's you're seeing it around hockey right now. Adam Oates is a skills coach who has players all over the league, and Daryl Belfry, etc. The Jets, instead of fighting it, embraced it and sent their goalie coach, Wade Flaherty, to Kelowna, British Columbia last August to be with Connor Hellebuck during the camp and to go on the ice and learn the techniques from Adam Francilia along with his goalie. It was a really unique way of approaching things, I think, compared to other NHL teams. And the relationship between Wade Flaherty and Connor Hellebuck is tremendous. But I think a lot of it is the fact that everyone involved has embraced what Connor Hellebuck is about now in terms of his routine and his technique. And really, since that camp last summer, Connor Hellebuck's been a different goalie.
Pierre LeBrun, our guest, hockey insider for TSN, columnist for The Athletic.
Pierre, as we continue to try to search for any separation between these two teams going into this series, how big is home ice advantage for the Preds, given that Winnipeg has been so good at home, best in the league, but the Preds have also been really good on the road? Is home ice a slight separator in the series?
Well, let's put it this way. If this is going seven like we all think it will, you're darn right you'd rather be at Bridgestone if you're in Nashville. I'm sure you guys caught those games in Winnipeg on TV in the first round. I was there in the building. I was intimidated, and I wasn't even on the ice. It was that whiteout and what they have going in Winnipeg, and it is such a small rink, smallest rink in the NHL, so the sound really cascades off the roof acoustically in a way that is right in your face if you're the opposing team. And, man, that is a tough place to play. You're right. I mean, the Preds have shown that it doesn't matter where they are, they're not intimidated by anyone. But I'm here to tell you that, again, if you're looking for slight hairs of edges, that having game seven at home, if the series goes seven, will be of comfort for sure, I think, to the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, Dustin Byfuglien, probably a bit of a disappointment in the regular season, but had a good series against Minnesota. When you look at him just physically, and again, we're talking about separators between these two teams, how big is he going to be in this series against Nashville?
Well, I think Nashville fans are going to find out who Dustin Byfuglien is, that's for sure. Let's put it this way. If there's anyone coming from behind the net trying to cut in front on a wraparound and Dustin Byfuglien's on the ice, he's going to find out in a hurry who Big 33 is. He is a monster. And, you know, he's dialed in right now. He could tell in the way that he's playing that he knows that he's not going to play forever. He's a veteran player on a very young team. These are his, you know, this is really his first playoff run since he won the Cup as a youngster in Chicago 8 years ago. You know, they got swept by Anaheim in the first round in 2015. That's it. That's all Dustin Byfuglien has known since he got shipped out by Chicago because of salary cap concerns. after winning a cup in 2010. He is so hungry, and he said last round that he's talked to his teammates about his example, that, you know, wins a cup at such a young age and then nothing for 8 years, that this is their moment. Not to think that the Jets are opening their window now and now they're going to have 6-7 years of this. That may be, but you don't know. The league is too close. You don't know what's around the corner. So he, as one of the leaders on that team, has talked to his younger teammates about treating this as a lifetime opportunity here, that these are their playoffs and they have to take advantage of it now. And you really can sense that in that Jets dressing room.
With all we said about the two quality goaltenders, 5 games, 42 goals between these teams in the regular season, you expect right. any echoes of that, or is that going?
I really do not. Yeah, I do not at all. And maybe I'll be wrong because both these teams have so much talent, but I think that they're going to dial it in here and play playoff hockey. And I think we're going to get a lot of 3-2s and 2-1s is what I think we're going to get. But again, both teams can score with all four lines, which not every team in the league can say. And both teams get a lot of offense from their back end as well. So there's certainly what you saw in the regular season. For me, they were the best games of the entire league during the regular season in terms of must-watch TV. But I think come playoff time, there's a real onus on the way that you defend before you worry about anything else. And I think we'll see that starting tomorrow night.
Pierre, I've really enjoyed your work at The Athletic because you're able to take a different angle and approach than most when it comes to coverage across the league. And an example of that is with your chat with Jim Rutherford, the general manager of the Penguins, who worked with both Laviolette and Maurice, the two head coaches in this series in Carolina. What did Rutherford tell you about both, and what separates the two?
Yeah, who would know them more than him, I guess, right? It's such a unique situation. I mean, you know, Peter Laviolette's years in Carolina were sandwiched by Paul Maurice's years before and after. It's really uncommon. Jim Rutherford having brought Paul Maurice back for a second tour of duty. And a couple of things that came to mind, and one is that Jim Rutherford believes that Paul Maurice is very underrated, that he believes that he's never gotten the kind of notoriety that he should in terms of his abilities as a coach. And he thinks it's because Paul Maurice's teams in the past haven't been that talented, which is kind of an interesting thing to say to Jim Rutherford, because you're talking about your own Carolina teams of the past. But his point is now that he's happy for Paul, who he considers a great friend, that he finally has a deep and talented team in which he can, you know, really get behind as a coach. One of the things that he said about Peter Laviolette was that he felt that Peter Laviolette, come playoff time, really shines. That you know, it's funny how we always talk about players. Some players are playoff players. Clearly, Jim Rutherford believes Peter Laviolette is a playoff coach. And the way that he strategizes and brings the best out of his players at this time of year, he believes is among the best coaches in the league at doing that. And listen, the pedigree is there. As you guys know, he won a cup for Jim Rutherford in Carolina. He went to a cup final with the Flyers, and went to the cup final last year for David Poile. So it's hard to argue with Jim Rutherford's line of thinking that this isn't the time of year that seems to bring out the best out of Peter Laviolette.
Pierre, when you look at these two teams and the depth across both rosters, which coach do you think is actually going to be more concerned about matchups?
That is a good question. I think both coaches are going to realize that it's a pick your poison series. What I mean by that is, I mean, we saw how, you know, Nashville's so-called checking line did a ton of scoring with Austin Watson, Bonino, and Sissons in the first round. So you know that's there if you're Paul Maurice and you're sort of looking at the way that Nashville comes at you in waves. You know, on the flip side, you know, Winnipeg's top line of Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler and Kyle Connor, I mean, that is a monster top line. So if you're Peter Laviolette, that's the line you're most worried about. But, of course, be careful, because coming over the boards right after them is Paul Stastny centering the great Patrick Laine and Nikolaj Ehlers. And Ehlers may be the fastest skater of this entire series. So, again, pick your poison. And like Sissons and Austin Watson, Winnipeg's version of that pairing up front would be Adam Lowry with Brandon Tanev. I mean, those two guys, Predators fans may not know a whole lot about them yet. I mean, I know they've seen them in the regular season, but Lowry and Tanev were dynamic in the first round against Minnesota. And actually, early on, I thought they were their best forwards before Wheeler and Scheifele and Laine and Stastny got going in that series. So again, that's similar to Nashville in terms of having your lower end guys up front having the potential to take over a game. So it's just, to me, this matchup on so many different levels is so compelling.
People here in Nashville, they're accustomed to seeing the Predators competitive year after year. They're not accustomed to seeing this level of play now in back-to-back years for the Predators with the Stanley Cup final run a year ago, President's Trophy this year. You talked about how both Winnipeg and Nashville are constructed. Looking at the architect of the Predators in David Poile, the way he's constructed this roster, do you see this as a 3 to 5 year window? Is this something that's fleeting? Do you believe David Poile has built something that can last here in Nashville with this roster?
Yeah, I do think it can last. I would say that I would want to take advantage of the here and now only in that Pekka Rinne is 35 years old, and I know that Saros, I believe, has the potential to be a franchise goalie, but you don't really know that for sure until he has that chance. So I guess what I'm saying is I like dealing in certainties, and the certainty that I have right now with Nashville is that right now Pekka Rinne is at the top of his game, and you know, has there ever been a better chance for this franchise to win a Stanley Cup? I don't think so. Last year they got to the final, but it was sort of unexpected when you consider that they went in as 8 seeds and had to upset their way all the way there. This is a team with expectations, with talent, with depth, with, you know, the President's Trophy in their back pocket. This is the moment for the Nashville Predators. But there's no question if it doesn't happen, then they got a heck of a team on their hands here in Winnipeg. They've got a great core to move forward. You know, eventually Saros will replace Rinne and Net, and you hope that goes well. Josi and Subban are signed, so is Ekholm. Obviously, Ryan Ellis this summer, you'll want to try and extend him with his contract expiring in a year. So that'll be an interesting thing under the salary cap for sure. But, you know, Johansson and Forsberg are signed long-term. Arvidsson is signed long-term. Kyle Turris is signed long-term. I mean, this team has a terrific, a solidified core in a cap world to live through. So really, the big thing is Ryan Ellis is making $2.5 million, which should be against the law. Is it such a crime that he's making only $2.5 million in terms of what he should be making in the NHL world? That'll be a big one for Nashville this summer. And how does that impact, you know, their cap situation in a year? That'll be a big one.
And Pierre, you just rattled off all these players. It reminded me, we did a topic, and we could do this practically every week in the playoffs, where other than Pekka, we had people call in and tell us their X factor for the series. And you wouldn't believe the number of names you would get on a topic like that with this roster. But what is it about this team and the team that Poile and Laviolette have put together that seems to lead to different guys being the man in different series and situations?
I think, first of all, it tells you, I remember writing a column for The Athletic about it this year, you know, the number of double-digit goal scorers that the Predators had led the NHL this year, right? 10 or more goals. I think they ended up with 13 or 14. No other team, I think the second-place team was at 10. That tells you something very significant right there, that they're not relying on a handful of players to win you a series. They can get it from so many different avenues in terms of coming up with a game plan and coming up with a victory. There simply are not many teams in the league that can actually say that. I mean, Nashville just had their hands full with a terrific young Colorado team, who and the Avalanche have, a really bright future. But just to be blunt, that's a one-line team right now. And hey, if you're going to have one line, that's a heck of a line to have. Nathan MacKinnon is out of this world. But the reality is so much of what they did this year depended on MacKinnon and Rantanen and Landeskog scoring. And that's just the reality. And it's the reality for a lot of teams. That's not the case for Nashville. It's not the case for Winnipeg. There are going to be many different heroes, I think, in this series for each team, which speaks to the depth that both teams have.
Finally, we've never been to Winnipeg. You certainly have many, many times. Going back to what you said about what it's like in that arena, how does the buzz and the interest and the excitement in Winnipeg compare to the excitement we're witnessing in Nashville right now?
Well, I mean, I think it's similar. I mean, I think the crowds that are outside, the rallies, all that stuff, I think you're going to see a lot of similarities in both cities during this series. You know, I think the love affair that this city has in Nashville for their team and everything we saw last year, which is spilling into this year, it's just amazing. I mean, this is a total anecdote, but I got into Nashville yesterday and I went to a restaurant to watch the Boston-Toronto Game 7, sat down at the restaurant bar so I can watch the game, and there were two TVs at each end, and they were both on the NBA playoffs when I walked in, so I politely asked for my TV to be changed, and the bartender gladly did so because he said, oh, yeah, Game 7. And then 5 minutes later, at the very other end of the bar, the patrons that were sitting there asked for that TV to be changed to the hockey game. And I just said to myself, would we have seen this, you know, 10, 15 years ago in Nashville, I wonder? No. And again, very anecdotal.
And we can answer no. That would not have right. happened 10 or 15 years ago.
Right. And so I think what's happening in Winnipeg, there's so much history tied to it. I know we're running out of time here, but, you know, that is a city that had its team ripped away from them in 1996, which was devastating for the fan base there. And so to have their team return in 2011, so that's a big layer of what you're going to see is the emotional attachment. But on top of that, when they did have a team in the NHL for 15 years between 1979 and 1996, or 79 to 95, they only won two playoff series. They were playing in a division, the Smythe division, where they had to get through Wayne Gretzky and the Edmonton Oilers, and they couldn't do it. They went 0-6 against the Oilers through the decade of the 80s in the playoffs. So not only did they have their team ripped out of their city for many years and moved to Arizona, but even when they had a team, and they had a lot of talented teams, they couldn't get through the dynasty team that was sitting in their division. So their playoff series win last Friday against the Minnesota Wild was their first as a city in 31 years for NHL hockey. But also, this arguably is the first time in the history of NHL hockey in Winnipeg, either the old team or the new team, where they have a team that can win a cup. They never had that. So that's the kind of emotion you're going to see when we head to Winnipeg, is that it's not just that they have a team again, it's that they've never had a team like this, period. And that's the excitement level that's happening there right now.
Can't wait to get it started tomorrow night. Pierre LeBrun, hockey insider for TSN, columnist for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter, at Pierre V. LeBrun. Pierre, thank you for the time, and enjoy Nashville. Hopefully we'll get to catch up with you at some point this weekend.
Sounds great. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but here. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Pierre.
Good to have you.
Pierre LeBrun has been our guest. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, give our final thoughts on tonight's NFL draft. And also, the Predators fought hard all season from home ice advantage, and they ended up getting it throughout the entire postseason with the President's Trophy. I think it could play an even bigger role in this series for factors other than just playing in front of your home crowd.